Have you ever wanted to just scream? You're angry, you're frustrated, you're sad, you're grieving, but where can you go to let it all out? Florence Welch has created that space for you with her new album.
I wanted this sense of that if you were screaming internally, that you could like come to a place and scream externally. You know, I wanted to give that to people as well as myself.
The album from Florence and the Machine is called Everybody Scream. Coming up, Florence talks about finding healing and power in that primal scream, in performance, and in her research into the history of magic and witchcraft.
You would go to a cunning woman for a spell, you would go to your priest for a prayer, but they kind of like, you know, magic was real.
Things get magical with a performance and conversation with Florence and the Machine. Today, I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with a special edition of the Up North Report. If you're headed to spend time with family this Thanksgiving, you might be bracing yourself for heated political exchanges or other conflicts that can arise when you're with your loved ones. Lori Kramer is a professor of applied psychology at Northeastern University in Boston. She is an expert in managing strategies for family conflict. I spoke with Kramer about how to prepare yourself for family gatherings and how to leave them relatively unscathed.
First of all, have a little talk with yourself about what this is likely going to be like. Think about what's happening within your family, how people are getting along, which people may have belief systems that may really differ from your own, but who also in the family may be more likely to see things the way that you do. And you may want to have a conversation with those folks ahead of time to brainstorm together about what you might do. Should the conversation turn in ways that might create more tension? Think about your own emotion, how you can enter a family gathering feeling as calm and relaxed as you possibly can, but also realize that this is a temporary situation. I don't have to spend all the rest of my days dealing with these contentious issues with people that I care about. Do some relaxation or yoga or whatever people do to really help themselves calmly enter a situation like that.
My mind goes toward having a drink or two. That's something that people will do on Thanksgiving. They'll imbibe. Can you talk about how that may play into the development of some of these conflicts that occur?
Right. So there's many different ways to relax. If you are using alcohol, I think it's important to realize that that does loosen people's inhibitions. And it may increase the likelihood that people say things to each other that they may find hurtful or painful. I'm a strong proponent of having people think about what their goals are. How can they leave that family gathering and still feel good about themselves and feel good about their families? That may lead them to make some decisions about really how much they want to drink, to realize that that's part of the context that they're walking into.
So let's say you feel the need to step in and be the peacemaker. What would be some good techniques to use to take the temperature down a notch or two?
Humor is always one strategy. If you can come up with something that is just a funny thing to talk about to change the subject, or be a little self-effacing of, I want to tell you how I feel, but maybe this isn't the right place or time. And being transparent about your goals. Came here today because I really want to spend time with people I love. There's always past the peas, you know, get back into the food and maybe coming prepared preemptively to have a list of five things that you could bring up would be more likely to bring people together than apart. If there's no way to avoid those difficult conversations, to be really upfront, you care, you're curious, you are open and interested in hearing more about their viewpoint. That often disarms people. They may open up and be a little bit less defensive and share a little bit more about their viewpoints in ways that you can then respond with interest and curiosity, not rejection.
How do you recommend approaching that situation when you know for a fact that something is wrong?
It sounds like you know that if you just say, that's not true, that might not lead to the kind of response that you're hoping for. Instead, stepping back a minute and follow your curiosity. How did you find that out? How did you come to believe that? As they give more of the details, you may be able to find some entry points for helping to show that there's other evidence that they may want to look at too. Hey, I'm glad you have an open mind about this, but there's this other article you may want to read, and it might let you see a different perspective on this very same issue.
That was Lori Kramer, professor of applied psychology at Northeastern University. That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report. Happy Thanksgiving from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. On stage, Florence Welch projects a kind of mystical power. Her voice is otherworldly. The imagery and costuming is witchy and dips into the occult. Her sixth studio album, As Florence and the Machine, called Everybody Scream, builds on that mysticism, but in deeper, extremely personal ways. Before writing Everybody Scream, Florence experienced a miscarriage that required emergency surgery. Coming up today, in this session recorded live at Electric Lady Studios in New York City, she will discuss how she tapped into a primal feminine energy to help her work through that physical and emotional trauma, which included her researching the history of witchcraft. She also talks about drawing power from live performance, the difference between the performing self and the, quote, normal self, and how we perceive greatness, especially when it comes to women. She also performs live, beginning with the title track from Everybody Scream, live for World Cafe. This is Florence and the Machine.
To see.
Live for the World Cafe, Florence and the Machine, the title track from her new album, Everybody Scream. I'm Raina Duris, and Florence Welch is my guest today. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. That is the title track, and it kind of feels like almost like a mission statement for the entire album. But I know you didn't write Everybody Scream till late in the process. You had the title, I think.
So the title was one of the first things that came.
Yeah.
It basically came from really wanting something that rhymed with Florence and the Machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if you had an album title that also rhymed with Florence and the Machine, that was also the title track? Like, it literally came from wanting to write like a single that rhymed with Florence and the Machine, because I just thought that would be cool.
Yeah. And I mean, screaming is kind of all over the album, either in the lyrics or like literally like wails and
yes, screams. I think it's almost, as a lyric, it's almost in every song.
Yeah. Maybe.
So
why do you think that was something that kept coming back?
I think I just like, yeah, I think I felt like I had this silent scream inside me as I was making it. And it was just a way to process that feeling. You know, I had this sort of like silent screaming going on inside me all the time. And so it was like a way to like let it out.
Yeah.
You know, but in a way that like was freed me from it.
Sure.
Know?
Well, screaming is cathartic. And
yes,
it can come from a place of agony, but it can also, and I think in that song, you kind of feel it can be unifying.
Yes, I wanted to change. So I thought about Everybody Scream as like this, everybody scream, right. You know, like it's very like, has a lot of bravado in it and like joy almost. And I was like, what if you inverted that into just a scream of like feminine fury and frustration? And when you were like, everybody scream, it was just like,
yeah, it feels like it comes from a really like deep and primal place.
Yes, it is. It was like, it felt like, I don't know. I think when you go through like a traumatic event, it's not necessarily loud.
Mm.
You know, I think I went through a traumatic event and actually it was a very silent event. You know, like when something happens to your body, you're just quite like stuck in it and you actually aren't making that much sound. So it was like, I think it was a way of processing that. I also think we are all wandering around like with enormous amount of like collective trauma in a way. You know, the pandemic really wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't talk about it, or we're not like,
yeah, we just didn't really process
that. We have not processed
it.
I think we haven't processed it. Everyone is just out there trying to live in this kind of like slightly deranged way.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I do feel like I also like ran at life after the pandemic, like ran back into touring, ran back into like life or trying to live or, and like, yeah, I wanted this sense of that if you were screaming internally, that you could like come to a place and scream externally.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to give that to people as well as myself.
I'm talking to Florence Welch today on World Cafe. In that song, In Everybody Scream, you sing, I get on stage, call her by her first name, tried to stay away, but I always meet her back at this place. She gives me everything. I feel no pain. Who is she? Is that your stage self? Is that the audience, the stage, the performance?
That actually came from a conversation with Mitski. She came to the studio before Everybody Scream was like fully finished. It was in demo form. It was just a list of random commands and shouts, and like there was no chorus. And she really helped kind of construct that song into what it was, you know, helped. And I think we just had to talk about what the song meant. And we had this conversation about the like level of sacrifice it sometimes feels like as a woman that you have to do to keep going in this job, you know, that potentially that your male counterparts don't have to deal with. But within that, she said something really beautiful. She was like, but the intimacy that brings you with it. And like, it is also like a kind of experience, you know, that maybe they will never know. So we're also two people who I think have a really similar attitude to work, which is like, I must do it. Why am I doing it? I must do it. It hurts so much. which is, again, like a lot of my record is like the brutality of songwriting, what you put yourself through every time you release a record, and yet you always keep coming back.
Yeah. When you go on stage, what does it give you? What is your headspace like?
Well, then I think you're kind of explaining it later in the song. It's like, here I can take up the whole of the sky, unfurling, becoming my full size.
Yeah.
It's that push and pull of like, kind of like the everyday happiness that I think I get from like not being seen, having a quiet life, routine, you know, normality, contentment, and this transcendent experience. You know, eventually I do butt at the edges of a normal life because there's this, you know, I'll start making songs again and I'll be like, oh, there's this huge force inside me that needs to live. Like, I'm not meant for this world.
Right, right.
I'm like bigger than this building. Like, I must be free from the confines of normality. So you're kind of always wrestling with these like parts of yourself. And I think, especially because bigness and hugeness is often not allowed in women. And especially I think off stage, I shrank myself in order to survive, you know, in order to survive the public gaze. Big, like outgoing, gregarious women were often like told they were annoying or ridiculed or like, and I found that to be the case when I was a young woman and it was really painful. And so I was like, okay, you don't get like this part of me, you know, but the stage was a place where they like, the kind of hugeness of my feelings was kind of celebrated, you know? So I think I always kept going back as a space where, you know, I felt like I could be big, you know?
Yeah. I'm talking to Florence Welch today on World Cafe. Speaking of like unconventional women and women being huge and not being allowed to do that stuff, I know that one thing that you were sort of researching when you worked on this record was witchcraft.
Yeah.
And you went to the Warburg Institute in London. I guess quickly tell us what that is for people who don't know.
So it's one of the biggest, like, it deals in like occult mysticism and symbolism. It's one of the, it actually has a section of the library that's organized just on esoteric principles. Like, it's not alphabetical. It's like all symbolism.
Oh, cool.
It's such a magical place. Weirdly, my mother, when she found out I was there, she was like, it's so sweet because I went there a lot researching my books when I was pregnant with you.
Wow.
So she's a professor of Renaissance studies.
So you'd been there before.
So I've been there before and I went back and I think the imagination is a form of escape. Mythology is a form of escape. I was looking to find meaning in the experiences that I'd had. I was looking to explore forms of power and also to like look to other women who'd kind of lived non-traditional. You know, like women were called witches just for owning a house. It's just like, they're like, it was like, you know, it was a sense that if you were living in outside of society, you were a threat, you know, that you were dangerous somehow, that you had something people wanted. And I was thinking about how I have lived in some ways a non-traditional life.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear you perform the song Sympathy Magic next. And there is something called sympathetic magic. And it's like,
yes,
when it's the belief basically that you can influence something or someone by using a corresponding object that resembles,
yes,
it, like a voodoo doll,
yes,
for instance. what is the magical process happening in this song? What is sympathy magic?
So sympathetic magic, yeah, it is a sort of like, or it's also, so in medieval time, sympathetic magic, you know, there was, I was also looking back to a period of time where magic was just a much more real part of life, like magic and religion, kind of like a similar thing. Like you would go to a cunning woman for a spell, you would go to your priest for a prayer, but they kind of like, you know, magic was real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was learning about sympathetic magic, which you would go to, you know, someone and you would be like, I like a love spell or I want to make a connection with this person. And sympathetic magic, I guess it's a form of like having control over someone, but it was also about making connections. So you would like whisper a spell into a piece of and baking bread and then give that person. And I was thinking about songs as a kind of sympathetic magic, you know, like I feel like that at the heart of it, songwriting is about making a connection with someone, a feeling like you can be with them or put your arms around them or be part of their world without even being there. It's also just a mishearing because they said sympathetic magic and I heard it as sympathy magic. And that was, but like, but I also think the only good thing about going through something awful is that you can be there for the other people who went through it too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was thinking of sympathy in terms of this kind of magic.
Yeah.
You know, sympathy magic, like that, like you can connect with people. That's the only gift in it, really, is that you can also help someone else feel better.
Here's Sympathy Magic performed live. It's Florence and the Machine on World Cafe.
I do not recognize my face. The scar fades, pulls inside, tugging at me all the time, chewing on a feeling and spitting it out, crouched in a ball gown, anxious in a shade. Vague humiliations of fame. I do not find worthiness of virtue. I no longer try to be God. It didn't keep me safe like you told me that it would. So come on, tear me wide open. A terrible gift. Let the chorus console me. Fingers, the only God that I know, and it does not want me on my knees to believe. Head high, arms wide, aching, 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 and alive, and alive. Told me that it was.
Sympathy Magic, performed live for the World Cafe by Florence and the Machine. After the break, Florence talks about the temporary nature of love songs, and we compare a new song of hers, And Love, to a classic, Cosmic Love. That's next on World Cafe.
Happy Friday morning, and thanks for listening to People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. You can cut your own Christmas tree in the Superior or Chippewa National Forest. Permits are now available at recreation.gov. You may also stop by a district office to get a permit. We receive support from Lakeland PBS, offering 24/7 PBS Kids programming, the PBS Kids video app, educational resources for teachers, parents, and more at lptv.org. The Bemidji Senior Center invites you to a Christmas concert with the First City Singers Monday, December 1st at 4 p.m. And the Friends of the Brainerd Public Library continue their Brown Bag Author Series Monday, December 1st at noon with Minnesota author Will Weaver. He will talk about his new book, Black Dirt, Bright Stars, a sequel to Power and Light. Coming up at 1 o'clock, your volunteer on the river host out of the downtown KBXE studios in Bemidji will be Jim Gallagher. Now let's get you back to the World Cafe.
Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, and my guest is Florence and the Machine. The new album is called Everybody Scream, and I'm speaking with Florence Welch.
We're going to go back to an older song today that you're going to perform for us, one from your debut album, Lungs, from 2009, called Cosmic Love. But first, I want to play a clip of the last song on the new album called And Love.
Aww.
Was not what I thought it was. It crept up on me despite myself, and it was not a love song, it was something else.
So that's And Love. And those two songs, Cosmic Love and Love, I'm not going to make any assumptions, but in my mind, they feel kind of like counterpoints to each other.
Oh, I didn't.
I mean, you have the harp. Yeah. There's similarities musically, but they're both these meditations on love, 15 years apart, and those thoughts have kind of maybe changed. What does it feel like to revisit that 2009 self of yours on Cosmic Love?
So funny now when I think of like the desperation of some of these love songs, and I remember like who they're about from way back then, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, what?
They inspired something at some point.
I know, but then the songs are so good, and you're like, wait, what? But the weird thing is, whenever you write about someone, you're never really writing about them. You know, you're always like tapping into something slightly like unhealed in yourself. So I think a lot of my love songs have come from a place of like deep desperation and these like empty spaces, you know, like I'm living a transient life. I'm not at home. I'm away from the people I love. It really fosters that. I also have never gotten over anything in my entire life.
What do you mean? Like,
well, I'll just if I've ever had a crush on someone, I probably still do on some, you know, I can just like, I'll keep everyone like on a little shelf of longing, and I'll be like, okay, today I'll just like.
Like in Kraken,
go
in
through
that song.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll just like, okay, I'm just going to like pick that up, and because you're so alone. Like it does, I think it's being like highly imaginative, alone a lot of the time, you know, there's a lot of, being essentially a very romantic person as well, but like,
And the longer you're away from someone, the more you can like build them into.
It's much easier to make songs about people that do not exist.
Yeah.
Essentially don't exist, or you met them twice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, because you can create these whole fantasy landscapes. And so a lot of my songs are almost about like, not even a person, but an empty room thinking about a person. Like yeah. They're not even there. Because I'm sober. I'm not doing anything. I'm in a room on my own. Like, this is the saddest thing about it. I'm not at the bar, like, meeting people. I'm, like, in a room being, like,
thinking about love.
That
is also kind of, like, a very romantic image. Like,
I'm, like, in my room writing poetry about someone I met, like, three times. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. But basically, like, this, if you think of Cosmic Love, like, you're in a desolate space, you know, like in twilight, you know, you're in this sort of like vast landscape of stars, and it's beautiful, but it is this sense of like not being grounded or on the world, you know, you, and I do think that fame does that to you. Mm. You know, you are shot into space in a way, and then you spend so much time in rooms on your own. So much time in rooms on your own to ruminate, to think about every crush you had ever had, to think about every person you shouldn't text. You know, that like it perpetuates a life of isolation. So I think in some ways, like it just allowed me to really just be like digging at that feeling. Mm-hmm. So much of the album is about chasing and yearning and longing. And even the songs that are about like ambition or work mm-hmm. or all about this like, keep going, keep chasing, you know, did I get it right? Do I win the prize? Like, do I have to resurrect myself from the dead again and try again? You know, will it be better next time? Yeah. So this sense of like frustration and desperation, and the end of the record is almost like you have this revelation that love and peace will not come from chasing, mm-hmm. that love might be surrendering to what is, surrendering to what's there, surrendering to like, someone who really loves you, not in a way that makes you insane. You know, like that peace might, that maybe love isn't the sick feeling, but is this sense of being held, you know? And I think I wanted the end to be this like, if the songs have these prescient forces or their prayers or manifestations, I kind of wanted to put something at the end of the record that has been so desperate in a way that was like this wish for myself and for everyone, for like the world.
We're going to come back and talk more about the new album, but right now let's hear your live performance of Cosmic Love. This is Florence and the Machine on World Cafe.
Darkness too, so I stayed in the darkness with you.
Cosmic Love, Florence and the Machine performing that song from her 2009 debut album Lungs for World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, joined by Florence Welch. It's been 15 years since you released that debut. You were in your early 20s then. You were dealing with fame all of a sudden. You know, you and I are the exact same age.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not old. I'm just going to say that. We're not old. But I mean, aging is something that I think about a lot. As a person who's like public facing in an industry like that. And I, at least I definitely think about it more than when I was 24.
I think everyone's younger than me now, though. I was like, oh, you're younger than me.
I'm age blind at this point. I can't tell. I'm like, certain people, I'm like, you could be 25, you could be 55. I don't know. But, you know, I think about, you know, getting older in a public facing kind of role more than I did back then. How do you think about it in your career? And is there like a freedom or power that comes with it?
It's a strange sense of that you have to prove yourself all over again. I think you have to prove that like women can still play over 35. You know, like there's a like, you're still, that people will still want to like look at you. There's this, which has good, because they, weirdly they do, but that's also good and bad, you know? Because I'm like, wait, I'm still out here? Like, I thought this would be done. I thought no one was supposed to want to look at me over 35.
Like, it was going to be so easy after that.
It was going to be easy. They're like, we don't want to see that. Like, no, everyone is still like into it. What? I was told this would be different. So weirdly, it does feel like you have to prove yourself all over again. Yeah. Like this, it's that sense that like men are allowed to just continue on this trajectory and get older and continue their careers and continue headlining. And you, as a woman, you get sent to the legend stage at 30.
Yeah.
Just like, okay. And there's a sense that like you are given these huge opportunities at very young. And then kind of it's like, but are you allowed to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, you get to a stage where you're like, there has been change, but like, is it also changing for women as they age into the next phase of their career, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know yet.
Yeah, that ties in, I think, very nicely to the last song that we're going to hear, which is my favorite song on the album. Maybe my favorite Florence and the Machine song ever. I love this song. It's called
Thank
One
you.
Of the Greats. And I guess first, I just want to note, you wrote this, recorded it in just one take.
This is one take. And then it was impossible to produce because of that, because the time signatures are insane. The tuning is insane. Someone texted me being like, I love that key change. I was like, none of this is intentional. Like, it was what kind of Bowen, who's from the band Idols, was playing this chord, and he just sort of like kept playing this rolling chord, and I was singing from the page. I'd never sang it before, and the song was so long. So what you hear is just us desperately trying to hang on. It's still now when I perform it live, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
It's so long. There's no like click. There's no real set time signature there is. So every time I perform it, I'm hanging on for dear life. You're just trying to make it to the end of the song. And we always did mean to re-record it like well, mm-hmm. but the first take just had this bursting out feeling that we couldn't ever replicate.
Yeah. I mean, in it, you sing about greatness, the perception of it. Has your definition of greatness changed over time?
I think that song was written in terms of like, will I ever be satisfied with a record? Like, I always had this feeling that like, if there was... what was it? If there was like 100 greatest records of all time, that like none of mine would be on there, you know, because they have their women, you know, they have like, they've got like Kate Bush, they've got
Joni.
Yeah,
they've got like those. Like, we've made the list. The list is gone.
We've did them. And there's a sense that even with all the striving and the enormous amount that you're giving up, huge things you're giving up to keep going, was it worth it? You know, like, did I get it right? You know, you're just like, oh, will it actually be remembered, or will it? And that's kind of inner perfectionism and just like, yeah, the thing that you wrestle with as an artist, which is like keeping going, but on some level never quite being satisfied. And that just seems to be part of it. It was weirdly when I accepted that that's part of my process, mm-hmm. that I actually feel the best I've ever felt about a record, which is this one. And I think the very visceral and intense way that everybody's scream came out of me almost guarded me from needing to have ambitions for it further than just having put it out in a very real way that I haven't experienced before.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of real greatness, is to just be able to do the work and let it go.
Yeah.
Good luck to us all. On that one.
I think that's a beautiful place to wrap this up. But
well, like, we're all insane.
We're all losing our minds.
End interview.
Here is One of the Greats performed live by Florence and the Machine on World Cafe.
Broken nails and coughing dirt, spitting out my song. So you could sing along, oh. And with each bedraggled breath, I knew I came back from the dead to show you how it's done, to show you what it takes to conquer and to crucify, to become one of the greats, one of the greats. I kept a scream inside my chest, killed everyone I'd ever kissed, hung them on the wall like trophies, each name a stain upon my lips. I told the truth but could never see it through. You see yourself hung on the wall, but that song is not about you. I wrote down all my fumbling visions, transmitted by television. Got everything I thought I wanted and cried, hungover in a hotel closet. Did I get it right? Do I win the prize? Do you regret bringing me back to life? Arms outstretched back from the dead. Streetlights bursting overhead, arms outstretched back from the dead. Streetlights bursting overhead. I did my best, tried to impress my
my childhood dream made flesh, in my dresses and my flowering sadness. So like a woman to profit from her madness, I was only beautiful under the lights, only powerful there. Well, burned out at 36, why did you dig me up for this? Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. You'll bury me again. Yes, it's all pretend that I could never be great, being held up against such male tastes. 'Cause who really gets to be one of the greats? One of the greats, but I've really done it this time. This one is all mine. I'll be up there with the men and the 10, all the women and the 100 greatest records of all time. It must be nice to be a man and make boring music just because you can. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan. You're my second favorite frontman, and you could have me if you weren't so afraid. It's funny how men don't find power very sexy. So this one's for the ladies. Do I drive you crazy? Did I get it right? Did I get it right? Do I win the dance? Do you regret bringing me back to life? Back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting. Too feminine to function, a pile of bodies and a trail of destruction.
Live for World Cafe, Florence and the Machine, one of the greats. It's from the new album, Everybody Scream. Florence Welch has been my guest today. It's been so great having you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. This is so fun.
I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
The World Cafe is brought to you by KAXE KBXE every Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Good morning. My name is Dan Gannon. Do you rely on KAXE? Are you at least 70 and a half years old? Supporting KAXE's future is easy. Ask your financial advisor to set up charitable IRA distributions to KAXE. Questions? Call Chris at 218-326-1234. Minnesota State Parks offer free admission on Friday, November 28th. Get out and explore your favorite park or find somewhere new, including the Twinkle Light Trail at Itasca State Park at the Bear Paw Campground. We receive support from First National Bank Bemidji, helping local families and businesses reach their financial goals. First National Bank Bemidji, better together, member FDIC. Local businesses across northern Minnesota remind you to support local this holiday season. This week is Small Business Saturday, with local shops and businesses open all across the region. And now we'd like to return you to more from the World Cafe on KAXE KBXE.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with Florence and the Machine, but hearing it is only part of the experience. It was recorded live at Electric Lady Studios in New York City, and we did the interview in front of this wild, colorful, cosmic mural that you really should see. You can watch the entire interview and the performance, which was so beautiful, at worldcafe.org. And on our YouTube, it's youtube.com/worldcafe.
Now, back in 2023, Florence made a playlist of songs that inspired her, and it included your next three tracks, starting with Kate Bush, Hounds of Love.
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, running in the night, afraid of what I might be, hiding in the dark, hiding in the street, and a world was full of enemies. The hounds of love are haunting me. I've always been a coward, and I don't know what's good.
Put a spell on you. Yeah, I put a spell on you because you're mine. You're mine. spell on you. Because I'm bandy, I'm better than that.
White Rabbit from Jefferson Airplane, a song that Florence Welch says inspired her. Thank you again to Florence and the Machine for being on the show today. Thank you to Miguel Perez, our World Cafe producer, for his work on that session, the World Cafe team, as well as the folks at Electric Lady Studios. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. And by Melville Charitable Trust, committed to ensuring all people have a safe, stable, and affordable home that allows them to thrive. Information about ways to prevent and solve homelessness is at MelvilleTrust.org.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dan Gannon. We receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly. The Aiken Fish House Parade is this afternoon, Friday, November 28th at 1 p.m. There are a variety of events before and after the parade. Find a full schedule at aiken.com/fishhouseparade. Local live music in the listening region today. Starting at 6 o'clock, you can catch Sophie Diamenti at the Jack Pine Brewery in Baxter. Also at 6 will be Nate Boots and Mal Murphy at Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids. Doyle Turner and Sarah Morris at the Popple Bar down in LaPorte. That begins at 6 p.m. as well. And the Brothers Burn Mountain will be at Clockow Brewing in Grand Rapids starting at 7 o'clock. And the Armory Arts and Events Center in Park Rapids presents A Very Good Christmas Carol, a humorous take on Dickens with three